Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
That was easy. You know those things that happen in our lives that seem like every odd was against them? Those things that happen that everything in this world and all of our physical understanding says shouldn't. Those things that make no sense and every part of our being says will not happen and yet still do. Sometimes my answer is yes. My beloved Jayhawks almost pulled one off yesterday. Sometimes my answer is no. Some have experiences that tell them the only answer is yes. And some can't help but wonder why they or someone they know didn't receive one. So I'm left with yes sometimes and no sometimes, somewhere in between. The reading for today from Mark describes two fairly significant miracles. First, Jesus encounters the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit. Her mother has come to Jesus, and he speaks with her, rather rudely at that, but that's another time. She really has no reason to come to him. Her culture, where she's from, her sex, her boldness, they all say, "Do not go to that man." And then, as he is in the middle of his travels, his disciples lead him to a deaf man. They bring one to him, one who is also unable to speak. This man also would not have been regarded very well in his own society. He wouldn't have been able to engage or participate in it. He would have been looked on as having committed some sin to receive this, or at least his parents did. There is no reason for either of these two things to happen. Every boundary and barrier exists that we can see. So the miracles here lie in the fact that they were healed, yes, but also in that Jesus and these people were willing to disregard every boundary of culture and society, the physical boundaries as the crowds and the distance, to come together. To go past every hindrance, every obstacle, and to meet, and to be changed. And Jesus is willing to do this all in order to restore the sick and the separated, the lonely and the cast away, to not only physical health, but wholeness of spirit, wholeness of relationship, and right relationship with society around them. In both cases, the people who are looking to encounter Jesus are hopefully expecting that if they can just get to him, if they can just meet Jesus, something will be different. Something will change. They aren't going to be held down by every barrier and boundary that says they ought not to. They know that if they can get to Jesus, something will be different. They are living in a way that expects the unlikely. They are living in a way that even expects the miraculous to happen. They are showing in their lives the difference that hope in Christ makes. Their lives have been changed because of it, and they've lived to reflect that. You know, they had every reason not to. They were sick. They were possessed. They couldn't hear or speak. They couldn't engage in their society and community. They couldn't build up relationships or participate in group things that we so value. In fact, their experience of life would have been much the opposite. Rejection, despair, loneliness. So why maintain hope? Why not give up? Why continue to think that things could be different? But they still do yet. And they still live with the deeply rooted hope that things would be different when they encountered Christ. They lived this way, and because of that, and in that, they sought Christ with everything that was within them. They were willing to cross the boundaries and barriers that existed that told them to stay away. They lived with the sense that their beliefs in this man and his saving power directed everything that they did. And so they showed forth that. It sort of seems obvious, I think. If we believe something, we ought to live that way. Not such a strange concept, and yet it is so hard. You see, for these people, not only did they think things would be different, but things were different. They were right. Christ transformed them after they encountered him. Their physical suffering was restored to wholeness, certainly. But their spirits and souls were changed and renewed as well. And so for this woman whose daughter was unclean, possessed by an unclean spirit, and for the man who had his hearing restored, they were told, be opened. Be opened. Be changed. Be restored. Be known. Be loved. Be renewed. And this is our invitation to be opened. Whatever is binding us, whatever is holding us back, whatever is keeping us from that feeling of being whole, Christ is inviting us to be opened, to be restored. Christ is showing us that he has promised us and has given us in his resurrection ultimately from the dead, that we can be healed and fully restored. Living expectantly as if a miracle could happen, living hopefully as if something is different because we have encountered Christ, is what we are called to do. You see, it's because we have. It's because we have encountered Christ. I don't think that's such a bold claim. You all are here. We have experienced Christ's resurrection. We have experienced this hope in our lives, at least at some point. And things were different. Things are different. Christ, in his love for the world and for us, has unbound us, has healed us from all of those things that would hold us back or keep us away. So, to my mind, at least, we are called to live that way. Live hopefully, live lovingly, live mercifully, live ultimately changed and transformed. We look for him to come to us. We give to him all that needs restoration, living as if this restoration has already happened, because it has. It has. These folks who came to Jesus to be healed in this story were brought by somebody else. I don't know if you caught that. It wasn't the folks that were sick themselves who were maintaining this hope. It was their community around them that brought them to him. The daughter of the woman wasn't even in the room. She was healed by proxy or something. It isn't clear that they were without hope, but they still depend on somebody else around them to lift them up, to help them get to Jesus. Neither person could be healed without someone else helping them, without someone else carrying them, without someone else speaking for them. It is not clear whether or not they knew Jesus was there themselves, even. And yet they still expected to be changed and healed. It is clear that their community, their family, and their support are the ones who got them through these physical boundaries, these cultural boundaries, to get to Christ. Now, it seems to me that Christ's command to be open might not always be a great thought. Might be a little bit exposing or something. Does that mean God will know that deep, dark secret that nobody else knows? Does that mean that God knows the things that bind me up, the things that hold me back, the things that limit me? Does that mean God knows those sins that if I don't talk about or think about, just go away? Yes, it does. It does. And Christ's resurrection then was still all about us now. It was still all about those limitations, those shortcomings, those sins, that brokenness now. And shows even in the midst of that, we are loved unconditionally. Not only are we loved, but each of our limitations, each of our sins, each of our areas of brokenness can be made new, can be restored, can be made whole and holy. So it is for us to accept Christ's invitation to encounter him, to be changed by him, and to be opened. Christ has promised all of us to be opened, to be made new, to be known. Some of us know that. Some of us know that deep in our bones. Some of us have experienced that. Some don't know. Some don't know Christ and his saving and healing power, whether because of their physical health or because of something in our society that says they cannot or should not, or perhaps even these walls and these doors are the ones that keep them out. How are we opened up in our lives and in our community's life so that all, really all, know that they are welcome to meet Christ and his love for them in this place? What in your life, in my life, in our life, can we show forth having been opened by Christ that would break down any barrier that exists for people to come in? Now, the trouble with miracles, of course, is that they have to be some major thing by definition, I guess, or else they wouldn't be miracles. I guess that's my problem with them. This that I am asking and inviting you to, that I think God is calling us to, might be something small. We might live, hopefully, live expectantly in ways that we don't even know, in ways that might make an impact on somebody's life that we don't ever know. So it doesn't have to be such a big thing. No matter what, we can still show forth Christ's transforming love in the face of our brokenness and how it has changed our lives. And this invitation is not just for us. The invitation to be known, to be loved, is for the world. May all of us this week reveal in our actions and our words the invitation of Christ to meet him, to be opened, to be known, and to be loved. And so each word and each action that we take each day invites everybody that we meet to know Christ, to know that they are loved by him. May we all do that this week and throughout our lives.